Report to Himmler on Julius Evola. Our knowledge of the relations between Evola and National Socialist circles between 1933 and 1945 has increased in the last few years through the publication, in 1986, of Julius Evola nei documenti segreti del Terzo Reich, Julius Evola in the secret documents of the Third Reich, by Europa di Roma, in 1997, of Julius Evola nei documenti segreti del Annenerbe, Julius Evola in the secret documents of the Annenerbe, by Fondazione Julius Evola, and in 2000, again by Fondazione Julius Evola, of Julius Evola nei rapporti del SS, Julius Evola in the reports of the SS. From the mid-1980s, these documents, mainly taken from the Bundesarchiv in Koblenz and the Berlin Document Center, happened to be in the possession of Renato Del Ponte, the editor of the well-known Evolian review Artos, who, for contingent reasons, could not publish any of them until, in the December 1999 to January 2000 issue, he was able to produce the Weisthor file. Here, taken from this article, is a report by a certain Weisthor to Himmler on a lecture given in German by Evola in Germany in 1938. Please note that, according to Renato Del Ponte, the translation into Italian that can be found in Julius Evola nei rapporti del SS noticeably varies from his, as we present it here, we have not been able to check the other so far. Needless to say, Weisthor was the alias under which, in September 1933, Karl Maria Weiligut, a former officer of the Austro-Hungarian army, placed himself in the service of the SS, in which he was considered as an expert in Germanic prehistory. SS Brigadefuhrer K.M. Weisthor W.SCHB. R. Heidmünster. 24 Berlin SW 68. RA 32309/J/65, February 2, 1938. Subject, Lecture by Baron Evola, Restoration of the West on the Basis of the Original Aryan Spirit. Reference, Letter of the January 22, 1938. TGBNRAR/83PT/V. Attachment, Text of Baron Evola. 2. The Reichsführer SS Heinrich Himmler. Prinz Albrecht Str 8 Berlin SW 11. Reichsführer. Please find returned here with the text of Baron Evola's lecture, Restoration of the West on the Basis of the Original Aryan Spirit, that was sent to me by Obersturmführer Dr. Brandt. I have read the extremely interesting theses set out therein and I would like to submit here my own point of view on these matters. The concepts set forth by Evola do originate in the world of the original Aryan ideas. The writer shows a vision of the world leading back to an imperial idea in the essential sense of the word. The basic concept of this vision of the world is the law of cause and effect. This means, in other words, that something which has happened is an accomplished fact, that is to say, it has already become cause of further effects. It is an Aryan duty to shape these facts in an Aryan way. If we consider the contemporary consequences of WWI, this necessity appears to us in all its gravity. In the first instance, notably, these consequences take a demonic spiritual form which accentuates the titanic telluric aspect, i.e., the material aspect. If Aryan culture is to be supreme, that is to say, if Aryan man is once again to fully dominate the world of matter, the telluric world, then the bearers of the Aryan heritage in our Aryan Europe must consider the spiritual aspect, namely the solar conception, to be of primary importance. It is only in this way that the Aryan imperial idea can be actualized, since matter, in itself, is merely the visible manifestation of eternity or of the eternal cycle, which can be dominated and guided only with the help of the force of spirit. This awareness leads us to the conviction that feminine spirituality must be put at the service of the fulfillment of Aryan goals, so that the eternal generative force, as basis and starting point of every material development, does not lose its spiritual direction. To deny the existence of feminine spirituality reminds us of the Christian view expressed at the Council of Trent, which doubted whether woman had a soul. Such a one-sided position towards the laws of cosmic rhythm leads to degeneracy in every case. The proof of this is that all the forces that do not want an evolution towards the heights make use of this to distort any asceticism into an abortive form. On the one hand, Bolshevism cultivates the feminine element so excessively that it manages to disrupt the balance of the divine unity of the spirit, when it asserts the right of woman to rule. This implies the breaking of the duality which guarantees the unity of the spirit, generation. In this respect, Bolshevism uses the feminine for its own obscure purposes, disrupting the evolution towards the heights of which the Aryan man has always been the first exponent. In fact, these infernal forces that are opposed to the solar principle were not unknown in the ancient Aryan world. However, the fact that Baron Evola does not recognize at all the contribution of feminine spirituality contrasts with our sense of the solar spiritual order. For the development of future ages, it is important to prevent a dualism between the masculine principle and the feminine principle. What brings me to these considerations is the fact that Evola, in his exposition, perfect in other respects, speaks of a demonic feminine, completely forgetting in the process that the divine unity, for the purposes of eternal generation, has to contain a double aspect. Everything must be done by the Aryans to nip in the bud any conflict in the practical world, where these forces have to be unified. I am taking this opportunity to emphasize that the ancient Aryan world already knew a diversification of the roles of woman, as expressed by Hexa, Druida, Wala, and Albrunna. With the Valkyries were then created the warlike women, who always followed their Aryan principles with force and faith. It is only where degeneration occurred in the process of historical development that a hegemony of woman with negative effects on the whole, as seen from an Aryan point of view, came about. In the course of our history, the mythic traditions of our people were doomed to become obscured. Let us bear in mind the effects of Catholicism in this connection, only to be made accessible once more to peoples of later ages, if ever. This is why we cannot close our souls to myths, sagas, tales, and orally transmitted traditions, but we must take them into consideration as sources of our so often distorted history, to the extent that they can stand up to objective examination. In relation to this, I would like to speak of the concept of truth. To many, truth is only a personal and subjective opinion, related to the present of the individual and of the people as a whole. To us, men, truth is the divine knowledge that transmits the law of cause and effect. Only the solar light leads us to be aware that we are a reflection of the becoming of creation and of the fact that we must obey its laws, the laws of cause and effect. To believe in the divine is the highest Aryan expression of spiritual will. The result of all this is that there must be men who have to act decisively for the whole people, in accordance with the imperatives of their racial inheritance, in this case Aryan, for, otherwise, they would risk being eternally caught in the vortex of time, which would prevent them from continuing to act for their race. As long as this spiritual awareness and this vision of the world are racially conditioned, the idea of race becomes the supporting basis of the whole people. It is only thus that this high spiritual quality, which can be understood by each race in question, alone, develops. It is only thus that the races that represent this ferment which conditions the eternal cycle of races on Earth can continue to do so until they return to the cosmos through their evolution, after they have brought to completion those tasks assigned to them at their creation on Earth by the divine will. It is ideas of this sort which gave birth to the concept of the Goths as leaders of all the Teutonic ethnic groups and as sages of the divine cosmos, whose Aryan functions as Godin, spiritual guides, remained until today in their component subraces, communities, and ethnic groups, despite the corrosive action exercised by Catholicism. K. M. Weisthor. S.S. Brigadefahrer. 1. Anyone even slightly familiar with Evola's work is bound to wonder what Weisthor's reasons were for implying that Evola denied the existence of feminine spirituality. Since Weiligut was not dishonest, it can only be assumed that he just lacked information on Evola's work. More generally, Nazi officials in charge of making reports on Evola's series of lectures in Germany in 1938 do not seem to have had first-hand information on it, nor on Evola's precise relations with the fascist regime. Another proof of this lack of information can be found in a review sent to the head of the NSDAP Racial Policy Department, Dr. Gross, by Dr. Hudegon Sintisi di Dottrina della Raza on 9 September 1942, in which Dr. Hudig stresses that Evola was not authorized to call the doctrine of race he had set out synthesis of fascist racial doctrine, when Mussolini had already explicitly authorized Evola to call the German edition of Sintisi di Dottrina della Raza, synthesis of fascist racial doctrine, which was the title under which it was published in 1942 in Germany, Grundriss der faschistischen Rassenlehre, Iranj, Berlin.